Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, the triumphal approach and entry of Jerusalem. I'll begin reading now. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of our Lord. Mercy and peace are yours in abundance through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Winning is a lot of fun. It doesn't matter if it's bingo, card games, or even if it's a silly argument. It's a rush to be on the winning side of anything. And this is the season for winning, isn't it? Every March, millions of brackets are filled out in office pools and among friends and family. And everybody has the same goal. To win. It doesn't matter if you don't know a single player on any team. It doesn't matter if you can't find the school that you picked on a map. It doesn't matter if you don't know the school's mascot or can't even pronounce the school's name correctly. You want to win. When you fill out your bracket, it's a zero-sum game. It doesn't matter if the team you picked put up a good fight. It doesn't matter if the calls didn't go your way or the star player got hurt unexpectedly. Either you're right or you're wrong. Either you win or you lose. And nobody likes to lose, right? We all want to win. Might be a part of why they call it March Madness. But that desire to win doesn't disappear after the final net's been cut down. Our enthusiasm, our infatuation, our madness, as it were, with success and victory, these things are not created by a college basketball tournament. Now, the college basketball tournament brings it to the surface. It's been there the whole time. None of us like to lose. All of us want to win as much as we possibly can. And that desire to triumph, to be connected with a winner, to be thought of as successful, transforms the way that we tend to think about Jesus and his kingdom today, just as it did to the people of Jesus' day. The scene I just read for you in Mark 11 is familiar and festive. Jesus is approaching the big city with a clamorous crowd. Everything seems to finally be falling into place. The colt is brought with little friction. The disciples aren't arguing about which among them is the greatest. And the people are spreading their cloaks and palm branches on the road before him. Maybe what's most important is the people are finally shouting words of praise, biblical words from Psalm 118. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. They're celebrating because this is the victorious Messiah the people of Israel have been waiting generations for. And it's heartwarming because after quite some time of struggles and resistance and tricky questions and dissenters, seems like the majority of the people finally seem to get it. They're not rushing to Jesus so they can see some miracles. They're not crowding around him so that he can heal their maladies. They're not arguing with him or demanding that he prove that he has really come from God. They're praising him. Hosanna, Lord, save us. Hosanna, Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But not all of their words are from the word of God. As the crowd shouts these biblical words of praise, they also include something else that tips their hand. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. What do they mean by this? Well, the Palm Sunday crowd wanted to roll back the clock and return to the glory that the nation of Israel had when King David sat on the throne. The saving that they're asking for in Hosanna, Lord, save us, Lord, grant us success, is not primarily spiritual. They had their sights set on something far more political, far more temporal, far less than what we all really needed. And sometimes that's what we really want too, isn't it? We want to be citizens of a nation where the church and Christianity are politically respected, maybe even feared. We want to live in a community where Judeo-Christian ethics are honored, modeled, and aimed for. We want our friends to throw bouquets at Jesus' feet, metaphorically speaking, when they consider how they want to live their own lives and raise their kids. We want our friends and our family to admire and applaud Jesus as well. And we also want to be the winners, because after all, we're with Jesus, right? So we should be praised when we're the ones who are most fervently following after him. We should be celebrated at work when we live as he's called us to. When we express the truth, people should thank us. They should respect us. They should speak well of us when we're not around. When we tell people that our Sunday mornings are spoken for, they should sing our praises and ask, hey, can I come with you? When we openly confess our sins, people should pat us on the back. When we have the love and courage to rebuke people straying from God, they should rave about us. We wish we lived in a world like that, right? We wish we lived in a world where everybody listens to, admires, and mimics Jesus. If we were in control of how things work in this world, that's how it would work, right? We want Jesus and us, because we're with him, to look and feel like winners in the eyes of this world, but we're not. We do not live in a world where everyone loves Jesus. We do not live in a world where the ways of God are observed and obeyed. We do not live in a world where the people of God are admired and applauded. We do not live in a world where everyone loves Jesus. We wish. It sounds nice, doesn't it? But throughout Jesus' life, he reveals to us that even if that were the case, it wouldn't be sufficient. People can honor God and his son with their lips and still have hearts that are far from him, hearts that are deceitful beyond cure. So while we may lament that we live in a world where not everyone loves Jesus, we must remember that we do live in a world where Jesus still loves everyone. The crowd on Palm Sunday celebrated Jesus because they hoped that he was going to usher in this new political, national, golden age for Israel. But that's not why Jesus came. He came to purchase and win sinners from all sin, from death, from the power of the devil. And to do that with something far more precious than silver or gold, he redeemed us with his holy, innocent blood. He shed his lifeblood to secure for us what the blood of bulls and male lambs in their prime could never sniff. Our salvation. Jesus came to pursue and secure our salvation, and he was in control every step of the way. And that's what Palm Sunday reveals to us. When God says he's going to do something, it happens exactly the way that he says it will. The God of all power and wisdom is always in complete control, even when it doesn't look that way. The God of all power and wisdom is in complete control, even when the chief priests and the teachers of the law have no interest in whether or not Jesus is the Messiah they claim they're looking for. The God of all power and wisdom is in complete control, even when the Roman governor has no interest in the truth, in justice, or in peace. The God of all power and wisdom is in complete control, even when his disciples have betrayed him, denied knowing him, and abandoned him. The God of all power and wisdom is in complete control, even when the world seems to be kicking him when he's down. Even when the devil seems to be smiling and laughing as the Son of God is languishing away and suffering and dying. The God of all power and wisdom is in complete control, even when his Son is so weak he cannot carry his cross another step. The God of all power and wisdom is in complete control, even as his Son cries out for his Father and receives no response. Your God is very much in control in your world, and he wins. See, as great as this moment is, with the clamoring crowds and the cloaks spread out in the road and the palm branches cut down, all of it is surpassed by everything that happens after this. Palm Sunday isn't the pinnacle. It's the foothills of the mountain. This parade couldn't change what had always been really wrong with our world. Only the suffering, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus could accomplish that. And Jesus has, and he has made us winners too. By God's grace, we have something far better than a perfect bracket. By God's grace, through faith, we have been credited with Christ's perfect record, his righteousness. We have our names written in the book of life. By God's grace and power, the same Jesus that we admire, that we applaud, that we love, that we trust, that we strive to obey, leads us around as captives in his triumphal procession. He uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Jesus everywhere, and we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. So let us sing our words of praise and not insert our own ideas. Hosanna, Lord, save us. Hosanna, Lord, grant us success in this task of spreading the knowledge of Jesus everywhere. Hosanna, bless us who come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It was a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you that our Christ is very much in control and has used his power, his wisdom to accomplish our salvation. If you'd like to learn more about that plan of salvation, I invite you to join us this Holy Week. Worship at 7 p.m. on Holy Thursday, Good Friday at 4 p.m., and Easter Sunday, festival worship at 9 a.m. If you'd like to find more out about what we believe and teach and strive to practice, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. May our God continue to bless and keep you. Hosanna, Lord, save us. Hosanna, Lord, grant us success. Until next time.